Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Well, because I got to start talking like Ross Perot.
That's not, man. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't mean to be disrespectful to the man. In fact, we just posted on WGNradio.com a conversation I had with him on the eve of the election in 2000 or 1996. Let me see here. It was on the eve of the election in 2000. Right. So George Bush is about to become president. Ross Perot is at the last minute throwing his support to Bush over Gore. Now, 9/11 hasn't happened yet. And here's the feisty Ross Perot, who was suddenly made available by the Bush people to come on WGN Radio. I'm hosting the show. I'll play a clip for you on that in a second. But I'd forgotten that we'd had this conversation. And listening back to it, it's so classic Ross Perot. Who is Ross Perot? So here's the wiki on him. An American business magnate who's just passed away. Billionaire, philanthropist, politician. He was the founder and former chief executive officer of Electronic Data Systems, EDS, and Perot Systems. Ran an independent presidential campaign in 92 and that third-party campaign in 1996. Both campaigns, as an independent, were among the strongest presidential showings by a third party or independent candidate in U.S. history. He started as a salesman for IBM. In 1962, he founded EDS, a data processing service company. That was in 62. In 1984, General Motors bought a controlling interest of his company for $2.4 billion. Then he established Perot Systems in 1988, and he was the angel investor for Next, the computer company founded by Steve Jobs. After he left Apple, Perot gave him the money to get that going. Perot also became heavily involved in the Vietnam War POW-MIA issue. In 92, Perot announced his intention to run for president and advocated a balanced budget and then do the outsourcing of jobs. He wanted to make America great again. And in enactment of the electronic direct democracy, a June 1992 Gallup poll showed Perot leading in a three-way race between President Bush and Bill Clinton. He chose Admiral James Stockdale, all-time favorite vice presidential candidates for 200, Alex.
Yeah, and you know, that's an unfortunate thing because I was just reading or watching this story about Stockdale, who was an incredible hero.
Yeah.
I mean, an absolutely wonderful person.
And you remember him for a line in a debate.
Who am I? Why am I here?
There was a vice presidential debate. And there's the three of them. One of them is Perot's guy. It's weird that Perot's in the hunt, let alone Stockdale. And Stockdale isn't getting questions or answers. And finally, he says that. And people just laugh and go, yeah, you guys aren't ready for prime time. But he was a man with a resume unto itself. So there's Stockdale on TV as his running mate. And he appeared in 1992 debates with Bush and Clinton. In the election, Perot got almost 19% of the vote. The popular vote, but he got zero electoral votes. We know how that works. He was good amongst self-described moderates. Forbes listed him in 2016 as the 167th richest man in the country. Billionaire. The way Robert McFadden wrote about him in the New York Times is perfect. Ross Perot, the wiry Texas gadfly, who made a fortune in computer services, amaze the nation with audacious paramilitary missions to Vietnam and Iran, and ran for president in 1992 and 1996 with populist talk of restoring Norman Rockwell's America, died Tuesday at his home in Dallas. He was 89, leukemia. He came from an era when boys would deliver papers on routes, folks tuned to the radio, and patriots rolled up their sleeves for Uncle Sam. He was an Eagle Scout, a Navy officer out of Annapolis, top IBM salesman, founder of that data processing enterprise. He came out against drugs. He was a billionaire philanthropist. In 1969, he became kind of a folk hero with a quixotic attempt to fly medicine and food to American prisoners of war in North Vietnam. In 1979, he staged a commando raid that he asserted had freed two of his employees and thousands of criminals and political prisoners. In 1992, he became one of the most unlikely candidates ever to run for president. He had never held office. He seemed all wrong. He was a cartoon character sprung to life. He was an elfin 5'6". He weighed 144 pounds with a 1950s crew cut, a squeaky nasal country boy twang, and ears that stuck out like Alfred E. Newman's on a Mad Magazine cover. He was stiff-necked. He was cantankerous. He was impetuous. He was sentimental. He was given to homespun epigrams. If you see a snake, just kill it. Don't appoint a committee on snakes, he would say. What was the line you used in the news, Steve? What was the Ross Perotism?
He talked about, I'll see if I can find it, but he talked about giving at the debate in 1992 where he was sent a voodoo stick, I think it was, from someone from Louisiana, obviously.
A woman from Louisiana.
Here it is.
Since we're dealing with voodoo economics, a great young lady from Louisiana sent me this voodoo stick, and I will use it as my pointer tonight.
Okay, go, wait, that's ridiculous. But I mean, but you know, sticking to the script doesn't have to work. And he was the guy that, I don't know if anybody was paying attention, I don't know, in 2016, but don't you think Ross Perot presaged a little bit Donald Trump?
John the Baptist?
I mean, really, he was like, he was the first apostle of drain the swamp. I'm going to talk directly to the people.
He certainly had the same he went after the same populist appeal.
It's interesting, think, because he did a lot of business with the U.S. government as he championed getting rid of all of the people in the U.S. government and criticizing it. He had it both ways. And so remember, he's before digital media. He's before Twitter, right? He's before Facebook. I mean, way before all of that. And yet he knew how to bend the media. His campaign featured innovative half-hour infomercials about himself and his ideas. He'd buy a half hour of TV at 7 o'clock on CBS. I think he might have bought it across all of the networks. They were wildly popular in the ratings. They would beat infomercials or sitcoms at the time. Ignoring negative newspaper and magazine articles, he laid siege to radio and television talk shows. Switchboards lit up. People wanted to volunteer. I mean, he had that sort of Tea Party pre-Trump appeal.
I'm trying to remember what the name of the party was, because he spawned a party.
Yep. I've got the name of it here, and it sounds like something Trump would champion.
It was kind of a fly-by-night thing. I mean,
oh yeah, United We Stand America. Just throw in some
United
good words.
United We Stand Party.
Well, like that was the banner. Right. That was the banner. Under the banner, United We Stand America, which sounds like Be Best, he spent $65 million of his billions on his own campaign.
But so then after that, so this party tried to continue, and it was, you know, just... But I was doing, with Wes Bleed, used to host a show called Dateline 720.
Sure.
And we would have, you know, he'd have guests come in, and so we had the leaders of this party. I don't remember exactly the name. I'll have to find the name of the party.
Yeah.
The Illinois leaders of the party. And as we're sitting down to do the interview, we get an alert saying that the party has just been dissolved. And so we told these guys, your party doesn't exist anymore.
And you walk out, this will be the last interview you do.
They had no hint that it was coming.
So let's do this. 122. Griff said, take a break. We'll come back and preview for you a little bit about what he did sound like when he was on our show just before. Billionaire Ross Perot, the presidential candidate, the philanthropist, has passed away of leukemia. And we are recollecting here on the show just an interview that our David Marzullo found. This goes back to 2000. It's the eve of the election. In fact, I think we're just about to vote. And they said, hey, Perot will come on and stump a little for Bush. Honestly, I was a little comfortable that close to the voting, actually putting an advocate for one side on without having somebody on for Al Gore. But I said, okay, let's just go ahead and do it. This is part of our conversation in the fall of 2000 with Ross Perot.
You're hitting the stump, I understand it, for the Republican Party, right?
No. I'm hitting the stump as a man who loves his country and a man who wants to make sure we pass on a better, stronger country to our children.
Yeah.
And we're down to two candidates now.
Right.
And those two candidates are Vice President Gore and Governor George Bush. I have studied the records of both candidates very carefully to decide who I would vote for, because one of them is going to run our country and be the Commander-in-Chief of our armed forces. And I have concluded that there's a huge gap of difference between Vice President Gore's capabilities and Governor Bush's capabilities. And therefore, I have urged the American people and including those who don't even plan to vote, to get off the couch and go vote tomorrow. And I urge you to vote for George Bush, because I think without any question, he'll be a president we can all be proud of.
How difficult was it for you to sort of cross the line and vote for one of the main party candidates, like Bush in this case?
Well, I just was looking for the best candidate.
Yeah.
No, it was if it had been in a minor party or wherever he was, the best candidate that has a chance to win.
Yeah, now when
because
you...
we've got to face the fact we can't live with Animal House and the White House any longer. We've got to have the trust and respect restored to the office of presidency. Then I've given you a quick profile on why I feel that Governor Bush will do an outstanding job. Now I switch to Al Gore. First off, being in Congress does not prepare you to be in the White House. All you do is pass laws.
Well, he's been the vice president, though.
About then, yeah, we'll talk about that. Now, he's had a chance, all right, but let me just take it step at a time. Talk about mental competency. Now, I can go on and on. His stories about being in Vietnam.
Whose?
Gore's.
Gore wasn't in Vietnam?
He was in Vietnam, but he claims he was out on the perimeter and being shot at. He was a reporter. He was a private. He had bodyguards
because he was a senator's son. I know that, but that's not fair. If you'll let me finish,
it's fair, because he got out in 4.5 months.
He got...
And it's normally a 13-month
tour,
but
that's
he got out...
That's not fair. That's not fair. You know what? This is too close to the election. He asked to be in the infantry, and he asked to be on the front, and they wouldn't put him there because he was a senator's son. Don't believe that if you don't want to, but don't be unfair about it. I mean, my word, win the election on the merits of the arguments.
I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
How do you justify the fact that he left Vietnam after only 4.5 months because he said he wanted to be a minister and then dropped out of the ministry?
He never said he wanted to be a minister.
He went to divinity school because... That was his excuse to
come home
early.
How do you explain George Bush's two-year absence from the records in the National Guard?
I don't.
Well, I think that's a relevant issue if you want to talk about
that. Not nearly as serious as... And I can go... I've just mentioned a few here on him. And then the latest is his experience down there in the Buddhist church, you know, in the church in Houston, where they were having a DEA investigation. No. He showed up for fundraiser, and a few days later they shut down the DEA investigation.
Mr. Pro, I really appreciate you coming on here. We are out of time. I wish you the best, and I hope you can join us again someday.
Thank you, and good luck to you.
Yeah, good luck to you.
That was incredible. I mean, you're right about a precursor. I mean, so he's taking on... Al Gore's military record, who served, and said that he wasn't worthy of the office, and ignoring George Bush's military record, right?
And he had his talking points. The reason that I was just so rushed with him is because I'm like, I'm not going to let you just throw a bunch of ad hominem attacks here, and then everybody's going to go, oh yeah, what a disaster. Some of the things he was saying just weren't true, or would lead you to believe something that wasn't true, and I didn't want that to be the last thing you heard. I didn't plan on arguing with the guy, but I also didn't plan on letting him just read his laundry list of accusations.
Yeah, and my point of that is you're picking your truth, you know, when he did that, the choice there. And we do that now, too.
Very cantankerous. Very cantankerous. Ross Perot. So the full conversation is kind of fun to listen to, too. And that's at WGNRadio.com.